Hello, Cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 118 of Crosshairs Radio. It's good to be back. I hope you all are ready for cyclocross season. From what I'm hearing, it's here. At least we'll be here this weekend recording this. We recorded the episode, TDDTIE, the They Don't Do That in Europe episode with Scott Diedenbach and Mr. David Powlin. We recorded that last night on Wednesday. It is now very early on Thursday morning, dropping in this intro. Wasn't sure if I was going to do an intro because I already did an intro in this show, but I figured I needed to come back, clean something up, like remember what episode number it was. It's been that long. Now we got that out of the way, and now we can move on to the other stuff that I need to let you guys know before you go anywhere, before you jump forward. I'm not even going to tell you where it's at. You're going to have to listen to it for a couple more minutes, maybe even seconds. Maybe this is all just a ruse and I'm going right into the episode. But before I do, I want to tell you about CX's Boss, new sponsor of the show, friends of mine from the Mid-Atlantic who are doing an awesome service to the cyclocross community, because of all of the things that cyclocross racers want to talk about and want to obsess about and want to just think that, that it is going to make them better racers, it is tires. And one of the best tire companies out there is FMB. And they're not easy to get in the U.S. These sought-after French tubular tires. But CX's Boss, those guys have them, and they want to get them out to you. And here's the best part. For all of those people who fast forwarded, they're going to miss out and they're going to be slower on the line because they're not going to have the advantage you have and the discount to get FMB tires from CX's Boss. You can go to cxisboss.com/radio, and if you put in the coupon code radio, r-a-d-i-o, like radio, you get 15% off. That's huge. That's a great deal. That will get you set for the whole season. Buy them for the whole family, I don't care, but use radio. Go to CX's Boss. It's great that they've come onto the network to support the show. I've had conversations with Eric and these guys forever and about the show, about the podcast. They've been fans, huge cyclocross fans, been involved in races since over a decade now in the Mid-Atlantic. So really a great company to support. And they have what you need as far as tires go. Variety of FMB tires. They have the Super Mud, which is one of the best mud tires ever made. Definitely something to have in your arsenal. They have the Slalom SSC, which was developed with Katie Compton. It's a fast rolling all-purpose tread. If you're around here in the Mid-Atlantic where we don't get a ton of sloppy weather, if that's really where your cyclocross conditions lie, this is going to get you through. The Slalom SSC is just an amazing tire that's going to get the job done. All the FMB tires are handmade, cotton sidewalls, treated with latex to protect them, and latex tubes for suppleness. This is a pro option. In fact, they have a pro option. Pro Sidewalls has additional thick latex sidewalls for further water resistance. I just go with that because you think you're going to take care of your tubulars, and you should, and you will to a point. Get the pro version. It gives you a little more protection, and you're good to go. Bottom line, cxisboss.com/radio, put in the coupon code radio and thank me later. Okay. Last thing I need to let you know that we're going to talk about here in a second as well. This is the donor drive. We do this every year. It's our NPR style pledge drive. I talk about it a little in the episode, but honestly, at 5 a.m. now, I'm much clearer than I was last night when we were recording this. And is this going to be a really short plea? Go to wideanglepodium.com and support the network so we can keep doing this. We got a ton of downloads. We're coming up on like a million if we haven't already passed it. It's not cheap and we need your help. Crosshairs Radio. I want to keep continuing this, and I need your help to do this so we can keep the lights on and the microphones on. We got a ton of great swag. I'm not going to bore with you with what it is, but we got splash-proof phone covers, fidget spinners, the Aero Race pins, buttons. I'm looking forward to seeing these buttons, all this stuff. But I need you to go. We got to get like at least 100 for the thousands and thousands of listeners that we have to this show, to the whole network, for the fraction that actually are members. It's kind of embarrassing. And I need your help. And we got to change that. As cheap as $5 a month, you can also do an annual one-time payment this year. So we got that in there. But please go, wideanglepodium.com. Go become a member. While you're there, pick up some Grimper coffee. All right. I believe that Mr. David Palin is already mid-story. So let's join him now.
If you have a barn cat that's in your garage, surrounded by little kitty toys that you're hand-feeding and forcing them to sit and wait their turn while you talk nice to them three times a day, are those barn cats or are those house pets? Oh, and by the way, they all have cute names.
Where do they sleep?
In the garage. Where they have their own little heater, by the way.
Is this an
Except in this weather where they have a fan in a specially ventilated garage.
Is the garage attached to the house?
It is attached.
Okay. And the cats never go inside the house?
No.
They have not been inside the house to date.
Okay. I love the thought you're putting into this, dude.
I don't know if I want to come between you two on this. I don't want to be a deciding vote here.
I'll just throw this out to you. If they were true barn cats,
yeah,
and were out in the barn,
mm-hmm,
you would not have to be worrying about all of the rat feces or mouse feces that you will be inhaling
well,
on
true.
Your trip.
That is where I thought this was going. Since we are recording, so this is actually part of the podcast. If people don't know, Scott's Sprinter van had a, not a rat, but a mouse infestation. And you're right. If that Sprinter had been in the garage instead of in the barn.
Yeah.
I'm with you, David. They're not barn cats.
They're garage cats,
if anything.
It was a mouse, not an infestation.
How do you know it was a mouse?
Well,
did you take prints or something?
There is like prints. Yeah, we got fingerprints.
The great road trip of 2018 was almost just had to be
almost
scuttled
sidelined.
because of either a mouse or mice.
Oh man, so funny. So funny. But the
I can't wait
till
they trace back the disease process to find patient zero.
And let's be clear, too, though. I never call them barn cats. I call them outdoor cats. David,
they're not outdoors.
You called them barn cats.
They haven't been outside.
Do they go outside?
Since their mother left them outside.
So, hang on.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, they got abandoned by their feral mother, right? But they have to weigh enough and be old enough before they can get spayed and neutered.
How old are they?
So until that happens, they're not going to go back outside because I don't want more kittens.
How old are they?
They are only, let's see, they are just coming up on 4 months. So
I'm back on Scott's side on this. You're being too hard on the kittens.
I have the appointment.
I love the kittens. They are the cutest little house cats I've seen in a long time.
I have the appointment in 2 weeks to get them fixed, and then they will be outside. They will come in the garage if they want to, and they have food and water, but then they go outside.
All right. The most important thing here that I will, you know, be
that
remiss
sounds like
with
my dogs.
Remiss.
They go outside when they want to, and then they have food and water in the house.
No, not in the house. In the garage. The garage is not the house. I don't live in my garage. I don't know.
Well, you do spend an awful lot of time out there now that the cats are out there.
God, I've dropped into an episode of Bike Shop CX.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
We've got cyclocross results to talk about. What are you working on?
Well, I want to get back to the most important thing here, not what they're called collectively, but what have these cats been named?
Sonny. Oh.
So there's a yellow one, like a yellow tabby. His name is Sonny. He's the only male. Sunny. because his original name was Sunkist, and then it got shortened to Sunny. Then there's an all black one.
Does Sunny around its neck have a collar with a quote by Mr. David Palin on it?
No. Saying something about Mike Shots.
Saying something about no cross is coming.
Yeah. If he did, it would say that. Yes.
That's a reference to Sonny Gilbert, Scott. Then the all have to bring you up to date.
I understand. Then the all black one. She is solid black. No white on her is named Boo. And then we have one that is like a mixed. She's like a mixed tabby calico, and she has a white ring around the end of her tail, so she is Ringo. And then the other one is a full tabby, head to toe, and her name is Charlie.
You went from Did you have any cats before this?
Yes.
Okay.
We used to have two outdoor cats, but they both died after 15 years, mm-hmm. and so these guys are gonna replace those.
Wow. All right.
Because I don't know if you've never been to my house, but I live in old farm country, what used to be old farm country. So yeah. There's a lot of mice and chipmunks and snakes and, you know, so an outdoor cat really helps keep all that down.
All
otherwise,
right.
They end up in your house or in your Sprinter van.
I look forward to weekly updates on the TDDTIE Cat Corner.
I sent you, you know who loves cats, right? Is Spencer, right?
Yeah.
I sent Spencer an update picture today of the cats.
Oh, good.
So that he stays informed. So.
Okay. In next order of business, before we get too far into this episode, I have to say hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. This is the next episode.
We don't know a number?
I don't know. I didn't look it up. 116?
Bill, you got nothing else to do, man. Why don't you? You can't look
up. You spent enough time on an airplane, you could probably get the internet up there now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. 118.
There we
Crosshairs
go.
Crosshairs Radio episode 118. Yeah.
And it is a fine episode of TDDTIE.
This is true. The thing is, I have like my finger quotes portable podcast little pack that I take with me that probably weighs like 10 pounds just because of those microphones.
Yeah.
And I've been sort of schlepping it around to Europe and it worked out well. I got the Vanderpool interview and Chris Blevins and that was great. And then I had like stuff lined up for France and then it just never happened. So I came back empty handed. But
that's your new Zoom, right? You got a new Zoom?
I did. I got the new Zoom. Very, very happy with that. Now after that, having to do like an hour of post-processing with the Vanderpool 15-minute interview, I now know how to use it as well. So that's
plus.
That's a good Bike Shop CX audio episode. We could do that. I could come on and we could talk about like new audio gear.
Yeah,
that you
absolutely
need to do a cyclocross podcast.
We got new mics and stuff and headphones. David and I, when we record here, we actually have identical microphones and identical headphones now.
It's hard to tell us apart.
Whoa. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I need to check in with myself just mentally to know who's speaking.
But we do it all for the listeners and the subscribers, especially, right?
The viewers
and the subscribers, right?
Yeah, we could,
should we talk
one
about
thing,
our subscribers and the podcast and the that angled widely thing that we do?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Actually, can you guys, do you mind like talking about what's going on now? I've been gone. So I'm not really up to date on what we're doing with the podcast network. Could you discuss that? And then I have to look something up here.
Sure.
Segue or what?
Yeah, it was. Well, Bill runs off to do that. We talked real briefly about Sunny Gilbert and my quote on the top of her homepage. She at the bottom of her mobile page, she refers to us as her. Go ahead, Scotty D.
I don't remember. I'm not looking at it.
The Wild Angle Podium.
Yes. Yeah.
We usually think of us as the two old guys. We laugh and have a good time, but never really thought of ourselves as the Wild Angle. But indeed, we are the Wild Angle Podium. And tell us a little bit about that, Scotty D. Why did you choose that we went with the Wild Angle?
this is donation time. This is when this is the month where we try and get more subscribers. Subscribers are what help drive the network. And if you become a subscriber right now during the pledge thing, you get special stuff, right? So there's like a $5 if you do the $5 a month, you get the bonus content.
Yes.
If you do $10 a month, you get the bonus content plus the 4-pack of buttons plus the sticker sheet. I mean, the sticker sheet
alone.
Tell
me what level you have to give to get the wattage saving pins, though.
The
That's what I want to know.
The let's see, where are they? They are, and if you want to look at this stuff, it is just on wideanglepodium.com/donate, and you can check it out yourself. But you get the I don't remember where it is. I can't find it. You're talking about the arrow pins,
right? The orange arrow pins, yeah.
Yeah, that is...
I thought it was like at any level, to be honest with you. But
I think it might be. I think you're, if you give to the network at any level, I think you're going to get those arrow orange pins to pin on to, you know, hopefully the left side if the promoter is thinking correctly of your skin suit. And you know, you're not going to use the holes to put in the little number, but just, you know, on the sides and one in the middle to make sure it stays flat, and then you're good to go.
All right.
And all it takes is $15 a month to get the splash proof phone pouch.
We talked about the splash proof phone pouch on our last show, didn't we, Scotty?
I mean, if you have one of those and you walk into a room, all splashing ceases.
That is true.
Boom. So there you go.
I just did a race down in Ohio, restarted my racing career.
Yes.
Pretty much restarted where I left off, middle of the back of the pack, where it was 90-something degrees, and we had this long stretch along the beach. And
I saw that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. Mr. and Mrs. Voice of Cyclocross.
Voice of American Cyclocross, Scott Herman.
And Scott Julie. And Julie Herman were waiting in the beach in the lake area, and were splashing me and other riders as we went by in a very welcome chilling effect. So I was really wishing I had my splash-proof case for that.
Because you were racing with your phone?
No, but I didn't want to get too wet. So I figured if it was splash-proof, I would indeed be splash-proof.
There you go.
No, I don't race with my phone.
So anyways, you know, all the different dollar amounts, 5, 10, 15, 20, 35, 50. And you can also make a one-time donation that just, you know, is the total instead of making it every month if you want to do it that way. And you still get the gifts if you want to do all that stuff. So, yeah, please, you know, subscribers, throw us a little thank you. That's what makes everything work. And we really appreciate the subscribers to the Wide Angle Podium. And we love it when people tell us they're a subscriber. Because
yeah, for sure.
We just like saying
and
hi.
You know how we'll know this year when we go to races?
They have
they'll be wearing
pins.
The pins.
They'll be wearing the buttons.
Yeah.
on their jean jackets.
So there you go.
I need to resubscribe.
No, wait.
I need
to
subscribe
David,
again.
David, what's a jean jacket called?
A denim coat.
A dungaree coat.
A dungaree jacket. That's what it is, actually.
Right. Okay, never mind, Bill. Yeah. Go ahead.
Again, I'm just looking in on a bike shop CX. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing about, you know, one of the things, and I am sorry, this is all over the place. I go away for a second to look for an email to try to give you more information, and these guys just sort of ramble on about what I'm talking about.
The email file cabinet or something?
Yeah.
Just don't you have your computer in front of you?
It was a bit noisy.
Well, that was my wife coming home from she's out out in the rain on her bike.
Nice.
While I'm sitting here,
she could use a splash-proof phone.
There, see.
Yeah, she needs to go to wideanglepodium.com and subscribe.
Yes, she does.
Subscribe, $15 a month, and she can be all set.
And she'll be like, "You do a podcast?"
So what were you saying, Bill?
I have
about
no
the email?
Idea.
You
retrieved
an email.
Oh, what I was
going
to say is that one of the things that you can do is when you become a member is that, you know, we like to give you the opportunity to reward the shows that you like. So yeah. you yep. get to choose where your donation, part of your donation goes to the overall network, because being a part owner in this, I can tell you that you guys listen a lot. And there are a lot of downloads. We want even more downloads, but all of those downloads and storage space and all this kind of stuff costs a lot of money, like over $1,000 a month. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to keep paying for. And we don't want to do it by having, you know, the same ads that you hear on every podcast, be it Audible or whatever folding mattress there is, or Harry's Razors, or whatever else it is. You know, we're trying to, when we do have advertisers, and we'll have another one on for this episode as well, we want them to be stuff that we care about, like Grimper Coffee, for instance. There's one that we all care about, and they have the Full Schleck, which is a wide angle podium coffee blend that you can get just by, here's what you can do. It's a full stop shop. You can go to wideanglepodium.com. You can become a member. And then before you leave, you can also click on the link to get the Full Schleck coffee. Part of the proceeds for that also go back to the network. So it's just, it's holistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
And if you're listening to this thinking, oh, I'll let other people do that. No, we need you to do it, right?
And
yes, we're talking
to
you.
Come and pull through. You've got to come to the front. You've got to take your pull.
Exactly.
There you go. That was a road racing reference there.
That's all right. I think we all still got it.
All right.
Yeah, you can go to the Slow Ride podcast and let them explain what that means. And then they'll try to explain mountain biking and
and the swamp again thing.
Are you doing that?
Hey, no picking on them.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing swamp again. I didn't even do it once, never mind again. No, thank you.
A friend of ours is doing it though.
Yeah.
Indeed he is.
Yeah.
Craig North.
And then he's shooting down to Trek afterwards.
So. Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
No, Craig.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. So we should talk about some cyclocross, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, why not?
There's cyclocross to talk about.
Do you want to start down under?
Yes, absolutely.
Since we talk about the first UCI race already happened, we're going to talk about the first North American UCI race that's coming up this weekend, but... I think we need to give all of our friends in Australia a little joy and talk about the fields of joy. First time there was a UCI, I know, just don't stop me, I'm going to roll, race in Australia.
Second time.
Was it last year too?
Last year was the first.
So this is, all right, so they got their C2 weekend. Some interesting names on the start line. You know, we got the Squid Squad that showed up again. So you got Sammy Runnels and Emily Kachorik and Anthony Clark. They all made the trip over there. But the one that is nearest and dearest to our hearts, friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Contributor.
How about
occasional
that?
Contributor.
Contributor, yes.
Dutch correspondent.
Yeah.
Part Australian Dutch correspondent Jens Dekker making his way down to Australia.
Did you see that?
Did you see that picture of him hitting the Dekker?
Yeah. I also saw. You know, he's got his Corendon Circus kit on there, and kind of looking a little like Matthew Vanderpoel in these races with the. With the lead he was getting in them, you know, finishing the second day. Well, spoiler, he won both days. Second day by over a minute. And then, so the first day
was
that
so
was day
he
crashed.
Finished the second day on the first day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then he got a little time off. You know, we always talk about the women's races coming in a little short. 56 minutes finishing time.
Yeah. On the first day.
On the first
on
day.
Yeah.
They made up for it and made him go a little long on the second day.
Yeah, that was very cool. And top Australian finisher was Chris Jungleward, fresh off his Australian Nationals win. So he got third place. So that's cool. Always cool to see him in there.
Yeah, it was interesting. He was, when I went to Nobuyama last year, he won one of the days. And it was just interesting. That was an interesting comparison for this race because he was in there looking good. Clark was in there as well. And then on the women's side, probably the surprise because she did really well in that Nobuyama race was April McDonough. Yeah, he got fifth on the first day and then I think fell down to 11th on the second day. So I was actually thinking that she may have been further up there. One of the winners at that Nobuyama race last November, also sort of a foreshadowing of this race, was Sammy Runnels, who runneled away with both days.
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, in the women's race on the first day, there's, you know, the top three were all a U.S. rider, a New Zealand rider, and a Japanese rider taking the top three spots there. So that's good to see. I mean, it's always good to see when people come from other countries and do well. So, and then, of course, Emily Kaczorek got in there at sixth. So we got to give her a mention, too.
Yeah, sure. And then on the men's side, along with Jens Dekker, Gosa Vandermeer made the trip down from the Netherlands as well, picked up some points with 2 second places behind Dekker. Yeah, same podium for the men both days.
No, not well, top three, yes.
Top
yes.
three.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah. 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 Because on the second day, our friend Chris Aitken got in there,
yes.
I believe fourth.
So I saw some comment from him that he was fourth. Maybe not as not as happy with day one. Didn't feel like he had it in the legs and then kind of turned it around on day two.
Yeah. So interesting thing, you know, Chris, who will be racing in D.C. this year at the D.C. CX.
Yes.
Right. He'll be coming back to visit and we'll be going over to Bill's race. But I think one thing to point out, if you look at the Australian Nationals race, you know, Chris took second this year to Jungle Ward, but only by 7 seconds. I don't know what happened, if what was, you know, the deal, but, you know, Jungle Ward usually wins by a large amount in that race, and Chris is closing that gap. His racing age is 24. He's getting faster, I think, every year, so that's going to be really interesting to watch and see if that ever, you know, torch ever gets passed there. So
yeah, well, you know, he is getting older, as is Chris Jungleward, who is now 39. So he's getting up there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and from, you know, and this is just the fact of the matter, Jungleward is, your prime age for racing is usually in your early 30s, right? I mean, Jungleward's moving away from that and Chris is moving towards that. So that's how racing works, right? Some guys are getting faster, some women are getting faster, while others get a little bit slower as they get older. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right. Anything else? I was watching, somebody had some, the only video, it looked like they may have had a live stream, but those are all gone from YouTube. I was looking at, somebody had some sort of sideline video I was checking out.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, the track was fun, not funny. The track was interesting in that it reminded me of some of these tracks where you're like, okay, we're going to make sure that you have your 3 meter wide UCI legal course width.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, we're legal, but practically, there's like it's single track.
Yeah,
like there is this single track down the middle of it, you know. And you could, I saw some guys going outside of it onto the grass, but there's just this dirt fast line down the middle. So you got this huge course, and then everybody's just kind of lined up behind, which I don't mind, because it's like, if you want to pass, you sort of have to put that extra effort in to get out of the line and then go around.
Pick your spot.
They,
yeah.
Yeah. And then they had a little rhythm section in there, I saw as well. So it was, I don't like using the term grass crit, but it definitely looked like it was a grass crit.
Wasn't there one like pretty decent, like
good
run ups, run slash ride up? It kind of reminded me of that one in DeVue, except coming from the other direction, where you're hitting, it was like a sand, real short but steep hill. Remember like that one we were looking at DeVue, Bill? last year?
Yeah, for sure.
Where you were filming there? Yeah, so that looked kind of cool. That was giving some people some trouble. That was kind of cool.
All right. Well, hopefully Jens will check in with this episode, tell us everything we got wrong, and then we can update you all on the next one.
Oh, I know. Speaking of the course, did you see the one bermed turn? I saw a shot of Jens where he was really sideways up on that berm, hit going into that turn. That was pretty cool too. So,
yeah, very
like a fun spot.
Interesting because very similar to where his teammate took himself out of the race in La Bresse, which I made the joke on Twitter that what fooled Vanderpool and made him crash was that it was a severely on camber turn and he really didn't know what to do with that being a cyclocross racer.
Yeah. It threw him off.
Yeah.
His wheels weren't balanced for that.
I know. It's like, I'm going with the turn here. This doesn't seem right.
So overall though, once again, it looks like Fields of Joy did an excellent job. Overall with their C2 racing and the UCI racing that they got going on there. I think that's two pretty successful years
UCI race. Do they have like visions of moving up to C1?
I think that's probably ultimately their goal at some point. Whether or not they'll be ready for that next year, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that's usually... Australia should definitely have a C1. I mean, I think that would be a great thing. Hopefully, as it continues to get more and more popular. So I think ultimately, eventually, there's going to be a C1 there.
Yeah.
They're ready, I don't know.
It's more incentive for people to travel. You figure, you know, Jens has a reason to go down there. He's probably visiting family, you know. That there's a pull for him for Australia.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's got roots there. You make it a C1 and it's even more of an incentive to get more of Europe to say, hey, early season points, you know, especially for riders who maybe were disappointed with last season and want to get a jump and, you know, move up that grid by the time they hit the Super Prestige and DVV series even the World Cup. So I think that will definitely, if they make that jump, it'll certainly bring a more international feel to the event.
For sure. For sure. A lot. I think you'd get even more West Coast U.S. riders coming, especially.
Oh.
I mean, I think you'd get a lot of everybody, but I think that's not as, you know, it's a shorter trip for the West Coast U.S. Cross racers. So I think you'd get more of them jumping in and jumping over for that.
Speaking of international participation, so for DCCX, mm-hmm. Our, you know, you get this report card from the UCI after your race, you know, that's sort of goes through all of the things that you need to improve. And our report card was basically A pluses across the board. We were just, you know,
of course.
We did nothing wrong except the one thing. There was one line. Men's UCI field needs more international riders.
Well, there you go. We're bringing
we got an Australian.
That's right.
We'll have some Canadians too.
Yeah.
Is TCCX coming or what?
I think so.
Tyler
Cloutier, Yeah. So that's Texas too.
Yeah.
That's international,
which is
right?
Practically its own country.
But I thought it was funny when you told me.
You're a C2, right?
Yeah. But when you told me that Chris was coming, I sent that to like our little organization committee listener. I was like, we got our international guy, we're all set,
we're already
UCI
international,
will be happy.
We can now check that off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, that was one of the, when he and I first started talking about him going back, that was one of the things he says, like, I want to do I want to do DCCX.
That's awesome. All right,
we're doing it. Good. We're doing it. So yeah, we'll be doing that and Cincy. So for people, you know, anybody coming out to the races, stop by and say hi. You will definitely not miss the new Bike Shop CX van.
No.
Is it all done and wrapped and ready to roll?
Next week.
All right.
So yeah, hopefully in time for the Alma GP.
Yes.
The most important. That's like the drop dead date.
Exactly.
You know, that's feet to it the is, fire. We need this by the Alma GP.
I might be driving straight from the wrap place to the Alma GP, but it should be wrapped by the time the Alma GP
When are you guys ponying up the dough to get the pontoon boat wrapped with a Bike Shop CX?
That would be something, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah.
The Avalon pontoon boat. Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing. So, did you see the beach?
Scotty,
Bill, have you seen the beach?
You haven't been there yet.
No, I haven't. Well, I mean, we were talking about it. Maybe I can just make that drive out since I'm not going to Worlds.
There you
sure,
go.
Come on out.
Yeah. Fly somewhere close by, and we'll pick you up. We'll make sure you get there.
And David, you and the voice of Cyclocross are announcing?
We are indeed. We will be atop the... We're doing a double, actually. We are announcing aboard the good ship Avalon Tahoe for the Alma GP, including that beach scene that you've all seen with the pink flamingo. And then we pack into the Herman Mobile, and we're driving the 7, 8, 15, I don't know how many hours down to Harbin Park to open up the Ohio Valley Cyclocross Series. We'll be announcing
that
one together the next day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You're a team.
We are. We are a team.
Opening up both the Michigan and the OVCX series.
You're like opening day pitchers.
Yeah,
there we are. Yeah. And how many pitchers do you see go back to back like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's old school.
We're
that's
going
like that's
on like 5 hours rest.
That is Ruthian.
Indeed, it is.
In preparation for announcing, I know you're following Scott Herman's lead, who has like just a Philofax and binders and just cabinets full of data and stats on every local rider from, you know, Cat 1 down to Cat 5. I don't expect that from you, David. What I expect is I want the catchphrase. What is it? Can you unveil? Are there any new Mr. David Palin catchphrases for this cyclocross announcing season?
You know, some of them just kind of come to me in that flash of while I'm on the... I don't even...
Brilliant.
You know, you're in the
flash
flow,
is brilliant.
Right?
Yeah.
I was going to say the flash
flow moment where it just comes out and it just is out there.
You don't... Usually because you, this I is, it's all genuine. Things. This is like... This is cyclocross improv. You're
exactly.
not...
Exactly. That's yeah, what okay. it is. That's yeah. like... you know... Because I could be standing there by the Avalon Tahoe Beach Club, and then all I could be thinking going into it, the obvious ones, you know, where's my money, beach? We could go through all that if we want. But no, we're just going to let it flow. We're going to see where this takes us.
Where's my money, beach?
Beach better have my money.
So I think right now, JB, you better be getting out the different denominations to be sticking into that sand to make sure that this plays out the way it has to now. I expect pictures. I expect videos of beach hand-ups.
Yes.
The hand-ups won't be by the beach. They'll be stuck in the sand.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. They'll be down in the sand.
Right.
When people do the decker. We'll just call it that, right? When they do the decker and they're laying face down, just reach out and grab that bill and get back on your bike.
That's it.
So where's my money, beach?
I'm stopping at the bank and getting a whole bunch of singles, man.
There you go.
We're going to fill that beach with singles, man.
There'll be sand dollars.
There you go. Oh, man.
There it is. That's the magic, people. That's the magic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to witness that live. Imagine witnessing that live.
I'm sending him an invoice at this point.
Well, you'll just bring it with you, man. Okay. Because you can come. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of cyclocross races, though.
Yeah.
We should talk about the Deschutes Brewery Go Cross.
We
man,
should.
Virginia's Blue Ridge, the first UCI North American race.
Has that race just taken off? I mean, it was sad to see the Toronto wasn't going to happen, but I think ever since that did, it seems like the excitement and the buildup for Go Cross is just like elevated, hasn't it? I mean, you're hearing about all these riders that are coming, and everybody's pretty excited about it.
I've been, working a little bit with the promoter. Just, I mean, they're doing all the work. I'm just trying to help them get the word out. And their goal their goal, they had, I believe, 400 and some people last year before they were a UCI race for their weekend. And okay. their goal in a perfect world was to double that.
Yeah.
They wanted 800 plus people at their race for this weekend, especially bringing the UCI, you know, having women who pre-register race for free, you know, a lot of great stuff going on that they wanted to promote. So that was it. They were like, if they could get that, they were feeling really good about how
it would be a
going.
Success. Right. Yeah.
They're at 1,057 right now.
Oh, man. wow. That's awesome.
That is easily the largest. Bruce Buckley will get mad at me. I'm not sure. I was going to say the largest in Virginia. We'd have to go back and check. Cap Cross, which is the race that he promotes, used to be a UCI race in the MAC. They may have been up there. We're going to have to go back and look at the stats. I will go on a limb and say in the top two largest races ever in Virginia. For nice. Cycle Cross.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. And it's shaping up. Here's the cool thing. If we just take a peek at the UCI fields, you know, starting with the men's field, this is North Carolina invading Virginia. So you got Lucas Liverman, you got Kerry. Mm-hmm. Well, Kerry Werner, sort of Pennsylvania / North Carolina. I don't know where we really put him. Travis Liverman's going to be down there. Spencer Johnson, Eric Thompson. You know, this whole like contingent from North Carolina, the Mock Orange Bikes guys. You know, Robert Marion's going to be back racing again after missing the whole year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he awesome.
He is signed up. And then, you know, you have Virginia folks in there as well. You got a couple East Coast, Massachusetts, you know, people coming down, which is good to see. The interesting thing on here, we got some guys sneaking across the country to get in some early racing.
Mm.
Tobin Ortenblad signed up.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he'll be there. Yeah.
Cody and I
Kizer.
Assume he's going back to Reno too.
Cody Kizer maybe. is racing.
Oh man!
I have a feeling those guys may be traveling together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would think that's probably a safe bet.
Here's one. Jorben van Tickelt. I'm gonna get killed for that pronunciation from Oostmalle, Belgium. He's racing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. What's he doing in town? Did he come in just for Go Cross?
He may be here just
for the World Cups,
right? And just get an early start. Same thing that we're talking about with like Jens Dekker traveling, looking for some points. So, so it's sort of a neat lineup for the men. And then in the women's race, let's see here. We can get down to there.
The Amy D Foundation is going to be there, right, Corey? Did I see that?
That is correct. Yep, Corey Coogan.
And Rebecca Farringer, Gofar.
Yeah. Well, Felicia Marion. So they got the husband-wife team going there. Rebecca Farringer. Becca, let's talk about her for a second. New team this year.
Yeah.
You guys see that announcement? Yep. Her and Kerry Werner now on the same team, on that Kona Maxis team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a... That's a good one. And there, Crystal Anthony coming out from California.
Oh,
she'll
yeah.
be racing.
Yeah, she
KK Santos is going to be there. Some of the Midwest flavor.
Sonny Gilbert.
Sonny Gilbert's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
I hear that Elizabeth Sheldon's going to be there.
Libby Sheldon's going to be there. Interesting team name.
Powerhouse team.
Interesting team name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's racing for CX Hairs. Devo.
What?
Not sure what that
is. What is that about?
Tell us about this.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm at liberty to say. So, there's a...
You already did.
Is this embargoed information?
It's an embargo. No, we started a little development team here. We got...
Oh, my goodness.
Four people racing in there. CXR's Devo. We haven't really done an official announcement yet. I guess I'm doing that now.
This is it.
Yeah, we're sponsored by This is going to be a big surprise, Mr. David Fallon. I hope you're sitting down.
I am sitting down.
Sponsored by Trek Bikes.
No.
Which is awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome.
They are going above and beyond for us. You know, we're working not only with the folks in Waterloo, but also with our local Trek shop in D.C., the Trek shops in D.C., especially our friends over at the Clarendon and Arlington shop.
And that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? You know, it's great that Trek is, well, there's so many great things that Trek is doing, especially in the cyclocross world, in the gravel world, in the cycling world in general. Kudos to Trek. But then there's that aspect of if a major team brings all of that business, like CX here's Devo, brings all that business out of their local shops and brings it, basically getting deals direct from Trek, then that's not as cool because they're not supporting their local shops, but the way you're doing it is the right way, right? It goes through the shops. The shops still make, they probably aren't going to make all the profit that they'd make and all the margin and all that, but they do get a cut of it as well. And then you also are committed to the local shop. Isn't that the way it should be?
Yeah, and it's cool because it really worked out well because we're going to be working with those shops pretty closely for doing things like packet pickup for DCCX and doing some podcasts out of the shop during that time. So we got some really neat things that, am I supposed to be talking about this? I don't know. Who knows? We're doing it. Yeah, they're going to be happening for that. I don't know why it's
what
a
are
secret.
You waiting for?
It shouldn't be a secret.
The race is this weekend.
We're racing this weekend. And we don't have kits yet because, you know, that's a whole nother story. But we got bikes. That's the most important thing, right?
That's right.
Bikes and riders.
Shoes, helmets, and you're ready to go.
We got Von Trager shoes and helmets. We're all set.
Well, that's cool to see, and I wish that team a lot of luck. Having done a women's Devo team myself, it was awesome. So, and I think it'll be great. So,
in a completely positive way, because I know it was a great experience for you. I will just tell you, David, and everybody listening, that as soon as we sort of concocted this, I called up Scott and I was like,
"You're not going to believe what I did.
What was I thinking?"
I was like, "You can call me an idiot now, but guess what we're doing?
1.21 gigawatts. What was I thinking?"
The first time you see one of the development riders, something click with them and they get it and they become a better rider because of it, you go, "Ugh." All that trouble just is washed away because it's so cool to see that kind of stuff. So there you go.
Yep. As was the case with the Women's CX project and even with the AAVC, the Ann Arbor Velo Club Juniors that I've been working with, if the goal is to make good people as much as good racers, then it's money and time and effort well spent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's sort of the exciting thing for me personally. But I'm also really excited about this race, this Go Cross race. And I think that, again, what they did for the women fields is just phenomenal. You know, it's just unprecedented. Like, if you pre-registered, by the time people hear this, it's going to be closed or closing in a couple hours here. But it's just to be able to do that, to try to build it is just it's phenomenal. Like I said, So I'm really looking forward to the race. I think they got a cool course. I will be having coverage throughout the weekend. Going to try to get out there early Friday to shoot a course preview and just have that up for people to see. And then throughout the weekend, you know, Bruce will be out there shooting photos, and then I'll have a little film crew out there. And the goal, like, what I started last year with this Crosshairs Television is to build on that. So I'm going to try to get everyone a good chunk of footage of most of the race, condense it down to about 10 or 15 minutes of just the really good parts, do a commentary track on top of it. So you have a little bit of play-by-play, a little analysis, and put that out as a Crosshairs Television episode. If you go to my YouTube page, just I think CX Hairs and YouTube, and you should get to it, or even Crosshairs Television and YouTube, you should be able to get to it. This is what we're going to try to be doing throughout the season. I may convince Scotty D to jump on some of these analysis tracks. I think we had talked about that in the past.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Doing some of that. But it's really giving you not a live stream, because I think that is this kind of this mistaken goal that races have, that they think that's the ultimate, where what we find is that nobody's really home during the season to watch the live stream. They're all out doing your own race. You know, live stream's awesome for nationals.
Yes.
Right? Because unless you're either at nationals or you're at home following it. So right. being
and,
able
and
to
you
see
really want to know what happens.
Yeah, being able to see that live is awesome, because you're not there aren't any other races going on. But if you know, to see a live stream of some, you know, C1 or C2 somewhere while you're out doing your own race doesn't make as much sense. So I'm trying to offer an alternative to that, which is just these more of these tape delay, more of these wide world of sports type, you know, shorter version, but give you all the action. And so I hope that you all follow along from that, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel, leave some comments once they start rolling out. Let me know what you're thinking. You know, I started it out doing it originally last year as more of these Sven-ness type things with the little black and white text on there, and then went to voiceover. I think the voiceover works better, so that's what we're going to be sticking with.
I liked the voiceover and the one that you did. You do how many? I don't remember how many you did, but I really liked that. I thought that was
thanks.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I think the Nationals ones worked out well and gave a little different view than the. It was a good compliment to the live streams as well. So, so that's what I have going on for this weekend.
All this good stuff, man, and it's about to start this weekend. Yeah. So excited!
I'm still like trying to scramble to get all of my mountain biking videos done.
How was the ending of that?
It was good. The LaBresse race. I'm telling you. If you like cyclocross, you are going to love this weekend. Go to Red Bull TV, pull up the cross country races. It's no different. It's an hour, 10-minute race. So it's not like you're sitting there for 3 hours.
Right.
The women's race may be one of the greatest cycling races in the past decade.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw some tiny clips of that. It was amazing. That log downhill drop off.
All of the course features, but even more than that, it's exactly what we see in the women's cyclocross fields was happening in this cross country mountain bike race. You had two riders, Annika Langvad and Yolanda Neff, who have been battling all year, and they were like 30 points between them for the overall World Cup series leader. Okay. So that was on the line. And then it was just the race itself. And there are mechanicals and there's flats and there are people way out ahead and then flatting, and then way out behind and then coming back and then groups of three, groups of four, somebody else off the front. It was, I'm just out there running around, you know, filming it, but seeing it coming around and the crowd, you know, say what you will about France, they come out to support their cycling, you know, and the crowds are out there and they're big and they're enthusiastic. So just really, I'm telling you, the best way to get prepared for the upcoming cyclocross season, which we're going to be seeing this weekend, go back to Red Bull TV, watch those cross country races, because they're both, and then the men's race also, you got Vanderpool in there who's just going full gas until he's not, spoiler, but definitely worth watching that as well. If they still have the short track, I'm not sure if they do, but if they have the short track replays, and those are only 20-minute races, so they're really easy. If you want to be reminded what cyclocross season is like on the men's side, just go watch the LaBresse men's short track race. Because it's like Matthew, it's a little different. He raced it a little more like Wout. In that he just sort of hung out and was, you know, there, and you know, that all the guys, and they're sort of going together. And there's like, you know, the short tracks are pretty much just, you want a grass crit, this is it. They're just, you know, just flying on the pedal the whole way. And there was one point you're like, that's maybe where he's going to, and then it was just over. Like he attacked and it was, he in 10 seconds, he had a 20-second lead.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you're like, oh, hey cross is coming. You know, time to do a wheelie across the finish line and just, yeah.
Well, since you got us all excited and worked up, Bill, about cross coming, is there any predictions, any like forecasting we want to do about the season as a whole? Like, can be about the European season, can be about the U.S. season. Anybody have any like bold predictions?
Hey, I don't know about that. I have one thing that we do need to, that we found out about that will be the first time since Worlds that we're seeing. And that is Marianna Vos racing in the U.S. for cyclocross. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's really cool.
What's she coming over for?
She's coming over for both World Cups. She's
both
be,
World Cups?
Starting in Waterloo and then heading over to Jingle Cross.
Very cool. Very cool stuff. That'll be... that man, that that alone is reason enough to go check out both those... one or both of those races for sure.
Hey, did you guys see the announcement? And I know that Marianna is not going to Reno, but did you see the announcement made by Reno that they just threw another $1,000 into the women's pot?
Yeah,
the penultimate lap.
So the two things they did, and I think one of them, it'll be interesting. I haven't talked to the organizers. It's a question I really want to ask, is if they're just doing this to do it or if they've gotten some exemption from the UCI. Both races are 60 minutes.
I saw that too, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So that's a UCI C1. I don't think technically the women's race they're allowed to do this, so it'll be interesting to see what's going on there. But it's pretty awesome because,
yeah,
you know, I know at least for the three of us, we're always like, let's just do 50 minutes and that'll make both races more exciting, 50 minute men, 50 minute women. But if you're not going to do that, bump the women up to an hour. It's not like they can't race that, you know,
right?
It's just, it's
right. The
so
next best thing is to have
shorter.
Them both be 60. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's cool. And then what David was saying, so what's going to be great about that race is you will have that race within the race where if you're jockeying for position with one to go, you have that decision to make. Do you burn a match and make $1,000 on the spot?
Right.
Or do you sit back thinking of grander things, thinking you're going to take the win? I mean,
yes.
it is a such a great, you know, denomination of money.
Yeah.
That it makes.
But, head off some of those tweets and cards and letters and postcards that I'm sure we'll get. It's $500.
Oh, you're right. It's not $1,000. You're right. Right.
Yep.
Correct me.
$500 for the first woman, $250 for the second, $125 for the third. I don't know what that brings us up to. And then it's like whatever next is 75 and 25
down.
Or something. Whatever, however it breaks down, it'll be a total of $1,000. But certainly $500 in the penultimate lap. Hey, maybe that's the time to try to take a runner and go for it for a whole lap out in front.
Can I tell you something?
Tell me.
Yeah.
I think it'd be more exciting if it was just winner take all.
I think it depends how the race is shaping up, right? If you got one person off the front, then having it spread out is a little bit better because it's still an incentive for people to chase them down and go for it. Because even if I don't get there, I'm still going to get 250 or whatever, right?
Right.
But a bunch sprint, you know, everybody going for $1,000 would be pretty cool too. So I think it either could be exciting. I think it's a great thing, and we're going to be. I can't wait to be there for that. Have you seen a course map for that yet, Bill? Do we know what the course is?
I don't know if there is one yet. No, okay. I haven't seen one.
I'm curious, since it's not going to be designed by Brooke, if it's going to be similar to what Nationals was, or, you know, are they going to... I know he was talking about some changes for it, but I don't know what they've decided, if they're going to keep it.
I have a feeling that it is still going to be more similar to what... Brooke Watts was proposing moving the, you know, the where the Belgian stairs were, moving that whole area more towards that sort of natural amphitheater near where the finish line was for Nationals.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of me thinks that may happen just because it's a night race and you have to have lights.
It'd be easier, much easier to
light. Yeah, and centralizing that your whole lighting diagram instead of going all the way out to the outskirts of the park, I think is going to make a lot more sense.
Yes. Yeah. But then you don't have the little gully. I don't think.
Yes.
If you go, if
I
you
think
go
you sacrificed a little, the little
I think
creek.
It's a good thing to sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was an interesting part of the course at Nationals.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't so far away.
I mean, I think
but...
there were two features, right? And a long drag strip between them.
Yeah.
In either direction.
Yeah, the one thing that'll be interesting to see how where they sort of make that cutoff, assuming that that section is gone, is that I think that leading up to that really was the deciding factor for a lot of racers. It was boring. It was just a long drag, but it's that false flat.
Yes,
from the,
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah, from the finish line all the way up to that pavilion and that staircase, the mm-hmm. Chris Blevins staircase. That that I think hurt a lot of people.
Oh yeah,
I think you're right. I absolutely agree.
So assuming that they still go to that staircase and then maybe come back from there, I think you're good. But it, as I said, it's not like an exciting feature necessarily. It's not like the little single track on the hill in the back. But I think that is a really sort of
it's a leg killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially for that course, you know, that sort of made that track.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I'm sure whatever they do, it will be a well-designed course and it's going to be really fun to watch. So, and then that just leads us into the World Cups. So, man, we got some exciting stuff coming up. September and October are just nuts.
Yeah. It's really nonstop. I mean, it is just
one after another.
Yeah. Once we start going, and I think that, here's my North American prediction for the year. We are going to be much more engaged with this season for a couple reasons. I mean, we always are, but it's like, you know, the complaint has always been that things kind of fall off in November and then we wait around until January. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was even magnified by the what was it called? Ryan, the US Cup, the Ryan's series last year, because that ended pretty early as well.
Yeah. Right.
And that took a lot of steam out of the rest of the season. I think with Nationals in December, it's going to make those, you know, we've said this before, it's going to make those UCI races right, that butt up right on that, the Hendersonville, the Ruts and Guts, those are going to be big races now. They've always been great races. Now they're going to be big races.
It is the weekend of before the week of Nationals.
Yeah.
I mean, it's races right up to that. So that's really going to be cool.
And then the other thing, I think moving Pan Ams out of the U.S. is going to make that a more significant race for the U.S. It's like that band that you grow up with and you think is just like the local band, and then they kind of make it big and then everybody else is crazy about it and they're like, oh my god, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Like the Replacements in Minneapolis, and people in Minneapolis are like, yeah, whatever, you know, that bar band.
Right.
I think that by getting it out of the U.S., it's going to make people appreciate it more instead of it just being like Day 2 of Cincy or Louisville, you know, or whatever, that it's actually going to be this bigger event, which is
more
cool.
Of a standout event by itself like that. Yeah. Yes. Agreed. And we need a Canadian to win it. Then that'll really heat it up. Boy.
Then we're going to have to, you know, bring the Pan Am title back to the U.S.
That would be amazing.
2020.
So
what do you guys think?
All right.
Think?
Well, no. So here's the thing. Katie Compton, 15th Nationals. Predictions? Yes? No? 15. That's a big number. It's a round number.
David, who's going to beat her?
I don't know anyone that can beat her. I mean, we'll have to see how the season goes, but she's tough to beat.
I don't know that anybody's going
to
beat her.
Unless you're trying to lead me into somebody, I don't know. But
no, I'm not betting against her.
However,
I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how things line up on the men's side.
Uh huh.
Oh, which of the men would beat her?
Yep.
I got you. I'm with you again. Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, the men's side's going to be very interesting. I've heard somebody that Scott and I know well, and you know as well, hoping or thinking or planning to fight for the national championship. It's a name that you would not have on the top of your list right now.
Maybe even some inner squad squaddles.
Ooh.
Yeah, that could be too. I mean, certainly. That's not what I had in mind, but yeah.
Are you thinking, you're talking like inner squad like Cannondale?
I think
they're going to have a little battle in that tent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That may not have been who you were talking about.
No, but maybe his, well, I can't say.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, so it's you and I are thinking fun. The same. Hey, I've got a question for you. Reno Cross is a UCI event, correct?
Yeah, yes. C1.
So according to UCI rules, during elite women's events and for events in which women elite and women under U23 ride together, the duration must be between 40 and 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's what we were wondering about.
Were you listening at all while I was rambling on for the last half hour?
No, I love to hear you ramble, but I just want to point out what the rule is, 5.1.048, for those of us the viewers that are catching up slowly, but that is the specific rule we're talking about, and sometimes we just ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Okay, back to where we were saying there.
Let me just rewind here. Well, I don't know if they ask for an exemption or they're just going to do this without even asking permission, but it's really cool that they're doing it anyway. You can go back to like
all right.
30 minutes before and hear that again.
All right. Thank you all.
But thanks for bringing up the rule.
I know that our people like to know.
I know
where
this is going to be people's favorite because I can already tell that no one has lost interest in that the person who I'm talking to has already lost interest.
Hey, look, a shiny object. Here we go.
Here's another prediction I think
would
be
cool. So who
do you
think is going to win nationals? No, I'm just joking.
Do you think Katie Compton is going to win 15?
15 what? 15th All right, place?
Here's another prediction I think would be very interesting to make now and see how wrong we are at the end of the season. Women's world champion. Any predictions? Like if you had to throw a name out there right now, what would you do?
Yolanda Neff.
Oh, you know, I was thinking Yolanda Neff. I was thinking maybe PFP.
Yeah.
But you know who I have to put down is my favorite.
Who?
Katarina Nash. She's going to win it.
Of course. Katarina Nash. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's one to look out for just because.
I'm going
to
say.
Yeah.
Let me throw one out.
Are you going to throw out a British name?
I'm going to say Evie Richards.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, that's who I was going to mention, at least for these World Cups.
Uh-huh.
Because she is coming in peaking for Mountain Bike Worlds and is going to come in with a lot of form, has already won a World Cup in Namur.
Mm-hmm.
She may be flying in for Trek and then also for Jungle Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But can she go 60 minutes?
Is she racing Reno?
I think she can. See, that's, they do longer than that in mountain biking. And you're right too. She will be race. You know, she still could race U23 if she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would just go insane if she went back and raced Worlds in U23 again.
I think you're right. I wouldn't have any. It's like it's up to her. She should do whatever she wants to do. But I think people would say it's time. It's time to go.
She'll be racing elites in mountain bike too next year, even though she doesn't necessarily have to. And that's that whole thing that we don't have to deal with in cyclocross, even though it'd be fun to deal with it. Is that it's an Olympic year, And if she wants to be considered, you know, and this goes for all of these, like there's a lot of the U23 men and women, you know, to be considered for the Olympic team, they have to race against the elite. So if they're right on the bubble like that, they're all sort of shoved into the elite field, even if they still could have stayed in the U23 if the ultimate goal is to make the Olympic team.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. Any other predictions? Any other? I mean, there's so many women that could win it. I mean, that's what makes it an interesting pick now.
Yeah, you can't really. It's tough to go against Sané Khan at this point.
None of us picked Sané Khan, and she could certainly do it. Absolutely, Katie Compton could do it. I mean, with the world she had last year, are you kidding me? So yeah.
But I think it's going to be a fun season on that side. I think that we will see, you know, I think our fear is that we're going to see the same people at the front of the men's race that we've seen in the past, you know, at least for another year until they're all, you know, gone and racing on the road. And
team issues coming up for Mr. Wout van Aert or what? How's that going to affect his racing?
I mean, we haven't even talked about that. It's not normal. I mean, just that I think it was actually John Verheul who got this right on Twitter and why it's probably driving him crazy. It's not, you know, he's gone in 2020.
Yep.
He will, like, this whole thing with Sniper and if they're going to merge with Aqua Blue and nobody told Wout and then Aqua Blue goes under and now they're going to merge with Rumpert, which is this Dutch team, and again nobody told Wout and you know, nobody, he has no idea what's going on, and it's not even that uncertainty, and this is what John was saying, it's that, you know, every Belgian and Dutch and at one point Irish, when Aqua Blue was involved, journalist, if they are able to spot Wout at a race, are yelling questions about the team and what's happening with the team and what's happening with him and all this kind of stuff. And he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So they're looking for him for these answers that he doesn't know while he's trying to get ready to race. And I think that that's probably why he went on Twitter exasperated saying, I can't tell you anything if my team won't even tell me what's going on. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of that is just for one more year. Because after that, I mean, he's on the first train out of there and going to be racing for a World Tour team, most likely that Lotto team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's Wout.
I think your tweet said it best, Bill, when you said, "What a mess." but if we had to pick somebody that's going to beat either Wout or Matthew, who would it be? Lars. Lars could do it on the right day for
in the right course.
Yeah.
Where's the world championship?
You're not selling me on anybody yet. don't we still, I mean, Lars Vanderhaar. Let's talk about Lars Vanderhaar. Do you think that he's honestly been healthy since he's been on Telenet?
No.
No, not really. I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like we've seen the Lars of previous years since he's been on Telenet. No.
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I think that, yeah, I mean, maybe he'll be able to come back, but he's still not there.
So do you think about Telenet, the way you say that?
What's that?
You think it's something about Telenet, the way you say that?
No, I think that, I honestly think that it's something about him being forced to probably do more road races than he wanted to when he was on Rabobank or on Giant and, you know, and not on a true cyclocross program that may have sort of set him up for these injuries. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's my guess.
Anybody else we can think of that could push either one of those guys?
There's a guy by the name of Sweek, I think, that...
That was the next one out of my mouth, yep.
We've been spending too much time together.
Bill?
Sure. No.
No?
No.
Sure not.
No.
No,
no, no. No. Kevin?
Powell's?
No.
Yeah, no, he's going to come in third.
What?
He's going to in
just
Kevin.
Put that right down right now. Yeah. Mark that down. Yeah. Kevin's place.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see past either one of those guys, and that's for sure. Yeah.
Toon Ayrts has been tearing it up from time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think you have to, I mean, the first people you have to look to are the big two.
Yep.
Twin Towers or something like that.
They are tall.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, we're rambling now.
I know. I know. I'm just curious to see who you guys are going to come up with.
I can't think of anybody else. It's like
who finished third in the world
last year? I'm drawing a blank.
Toon Ayrts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, who said Toon Ayrts?
Yeah. So it was Vanderpool, Van Aert. These are the rankings.
Rankings, yeah, because I think Van Aert won.
Yeah. Swick. Michael Vandredout.
Mm-hmm. That was another one I was thinking of.
Yeah. Lars Vanderhaar. Corne Kessel. Tim Merlier. Dan Soto. Quentin Ehrmans, you know, and so on.
Yeah.
I don't
to complete the versus TV ranking. The first American was.
Oh, we're supposed to say the first American?
Yeah, aren't you supposed to? Isn't that like the whole thing about American podcast?
Stephen Hyde at 13th.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which was a monster ride. Top 15.
What a ride he had.
Nice.
Well, that was for the year. That's where he ended up for the year.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I thought that's right.
Well, no,
he was
15th, wasn't he? Or
what?
These are cyclocross rankings. He was 13th for the year. Orton Blood was 19th.
And what was his spot at Worlds? I thought he was 15.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Steven, get him on the line.
Yeah. All right, we're rambling now. You're right. We've gone over our allotted hour. So
yeah.
Stop, and then come back after this race this weekend.
That's right. There we go.
I may have to drop in an ad here at the end.
It's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Go buy Grimpeer. Go buy Full Schleck Coffee. Grimpoorbrothers.com.
Become
Do
a
it.
Member of the Wide Angle Podium Podcast
yes.
Network.
Yeah. Hey, did I tell you guys I raced this weekend? This past weekend?
Yes. How'd
it
that
was
go?
Hot. It was hot. I can't tell you how many Full Schleck racers there were out there.
Nice.
There's your tie-in.
Perfect. And on that note, we don't really say anything at the end, do we?
No.
Goodbye, cyclocross
friends.
You
should
say
something like the bike shop is closed or something.
Don't say that.
Who would say that?
All right.
Hey, guys, great talking to you.
All right.
Hey, nice catching up.
If you're listening to this right now and you look at your little podcast clock and it says 1 hour, you'll know that the last 10 minutes weren't even worth listening to and they've just been eliminated. Of course, that would also mean that I would have to do some editing. So that's up in the air.
I can't believe you're actually even considering leaving all this in.
I don't know. See how it goes.
Now you've got to, because I just said that. I should have just cut it
out. I can cut that out, too. There's no saying I can't cut that out. Okay, we got to go. Mr. David Powell and Scott Dietenbach, Mr. Scotty D. Is that what we say? Scotty D?
Sure.
No mister.
Yeah.
You don't get a mister.
Yeah.
Great talking to you.
All right.
Well, Cross is going to be here in a couple days.
Yeah.
Yes.
It already is in Australia. I know. I'm sorry. Yes. It's already here in Australia. North American Cyclocross will be here in a couple days.
And on the next show, you'll fill us in about Go Cross.
Yes.
And then we'll see you in Alma.
Woohoo!
Woo!
only if I can go down the sliding board.
Yeah, I hear there's going to be a big trough at the end this year filled with ice water.
Perfect. Oh. Hey, that's one thing that Go Cross actually did. They rented out to this whole park that they're in. They rented out the whole pool at the park.
Nice.
Just for the race.
What?
Yeah.
I love it.
So, pool party. Pool party at Go Cross.
What could go wrong with that?
Of course, like Caddyshack is the first thing that comes to mind. Right. We're not going to go there. It's going to be awesome. Okay, guys. Have a great week.
Later, Bill.
Talk to you soon. Bye. All right, there you have it. Another episode in the books. Thanks so much to Mr. David Palin and Scott Diedenbach for stopping by. If you want to get a hold of those guys, go on to Twitter. They're there. Scott's at BikeShopCX and also at CyclocrossNet. Mr. David Palin is at Mr. David Palin. They're also on Instagram. Follow them everywhere. Check out that BikeShopCX show for more of those two guys. Also want to thank CX is Boss for sponsoring this show. If you missed it on the front of the show, I'm going to get you right now on the end. You need FMB tires. They're one of the few places in the U.S. you can get them. If you go to CX is Boss, that's CXISBOSS.com/radio. Put in the coupon code radio. You'll get 15% off of your order. They also got like water bottles, some shirts, some other cool stuff there. So, you know, throw those things into your cart as well. But definitely go for those FMB tires. CXisBoss.com/radio. The coupon code is radio. It'll be in the show notes as well. So you can just click on it there. You can follow me, Bill, at CXHairs on Twitter and on Instagram. And I am so excited to get going with the season, get into our Crosshairs television programming. So go to YouTube and follow there as well. Also cx.cxhairs.com. We got things planned. We're gonna do tech. I'm losing my head. We're gonna do tech and gear reviews and also a lot of race recaps for you and try to revitalize that site. Yeah, all good stuff. Oh yeah, before I let you go, wideanglepodium.com. go become a member. Do it now. Type it in, wideanglepodium.com. Click on the donate. It's the drive time. Get all your good swag. Become a member. Feel good about yourself. Support us, please. Okay, until the next one. I'm out of here. Bye.